Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Jason Williams, and we have our coffee. We're ready to talk about the late night that was last night, but I'm not sure. I've never been to like a whiteout at Penn State or any of those Ohio State games where there's 100,000 fans. But last night's atmosphere was up there and one of the best I've seen in professional sports.
It was really awesome, Kels. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up right out of the gate here because it a lot of this, I think, nationally, at least is in my column, you know, has gotten overshadowed by the Tua, the scary, really very, very scary injury that he suffered and everything that's gone around that. Folks who listen, you know, certainly are aware of what happened there. So we're not going to dwell on that. But I'm glad you mentioned this, that, you know, that injury, at least from a national standpoint, is overshadowing really just otherwise a very wonderful night for the Cincinnati Bengals, for the city of Cincinnati, a record crowd of over 67,000. And to be clear, I know some folks on Twitter were asking, that's a record crowd ever for the Cincinnati Bengals, Riverfront Stadium, Nippert, anywhere they've played at home, that's postseason, that's regular season. That last night was the most fans in person to ever watch the Bengals. And you're right, Kelsey, the whiteout was super cool.
The light show before.
The light show was
Jason,
really
by
awesome.
The way, to our listeners, Jason and I sit next to each other in the press box, and we have a great time because we're very unfiltered, but we both looked at each other and we're like, that was really cool.
Very cool. We did. And, you know, and it's still, there's times that having come back to sports and, you know, still keeping up on the Bengals because of the story as a journalist in this town, you still have to just sort of like catch yourself and think, dang, like they've come a long way. It's not the old Bengals. And another example of that is the light show and all the fireworks that are complimenting all that last night and the pom poms and, you know, just the ruler of the jungle feature at the beginning of the game, and Isaac Curtis, Willie Anderson doing that, and then that was incredibly overshadowed, I think, too, because
the injury happened right before halftime.
Yeah, and that just seemed like But anyway, let's keep this to the game, Kels.
Yep.
And first, before we jump into that, we want to ask folks to go sign up for our newsletter on Cincinnati.com. Bengals newsletter, all of our Bengals content. You sign up on email, will be sent right to your email daily. So you'll have that. You don't have to go searching for it.
It'll be like a little gift for you every day, like Christmas morning, a little package for you in your email.
For free.
Like, yeah, you know, because the Bengals keep us busy, don't they?
They do. And, you know, so let's talk about
the
game and what stands out to you. There's a couple things I think that you're going to say that I'm going to say, but
I just did a radio hit for a West Coast station, and it was funny. They asked me two questions that I want to ask you because they really got my mind going pre-coffee, which was a disaster. But they said, what do you make of Joe Burrow so far this season? And they said last year it was the Joe Burrow, Jamar explosive play offense that was really the identity of the Bengals defense, the Bengals offense. What is the Bengals identity? Like, what do you think the thing is this year? And so I said the first part of on Joe Burrow and this offense is – not there yet is what I would say. They have not played a full, complete game where I've walked away and been like, that was a really good game by the offense. I will say there were plenty of highlights that we need to talk about. I mean, you and I sit here and have hammered the offensive line. He was sacked one time, hit only three times. And in my analysis, I literally wrote, good things happen when Joe Burrow has time.
Yep.
He was able to get through his reads and find the open players like Hayden Hurst and T. Higgins when they were doubling TB and Ja'Marr Chase. So big step forward in that part. But the run game is still atrocious, and it is like that is not Jason and I nitpicking. And let's just talk about this one sequence. So the Bengals at this point, it was the third quarter and top of the fourth quarter. The Bengals had moved the ball, that big explosive play to Tyler Boyd, which was beautiful. And then they get to the 3-yard line. On second and third, Joe Mixon a run up the middle, shocker, for 2 yards. Then on third and one from the 1 yard line, Joe Mixon for no gain. Then Zach Taylor has a decision to make because at that point, Miami was winning. It was 15-14. So Zach Taylor had a decision to make. Do I because at that point, you're close enough where that's an automatic for Evan McPherson. I mean, he's banging 57 yarders, a 19-yard field goal. That's he could do that, with his left foot. Because of the two plays before and pretty much the whole night, he's like, let me send my kicker out, get the 3 points. I trust in my defense. And let me try and win it this way. And, you know, all the analytics folks and all those people can say that the analytics tell you to go for it in that situation, but they literally cannot. There's not enough evidence this season that they can get enough push up front and Mixon can hit the holes that he needs to get even 1 yard. And I think that sequence is an issue. They'll figure the explosive play situation out, and you saw that they did in the second half. But at this point, I don't know if you blow the whole run scheme up and you start from scratch. I don't know how you fix it because you're not going to get any new offensive linemen. And the guys on the street right now, there's a reason they're on the street.
And they're playing better. I mean, the line is playing overall.
Better. Mixon,
from a protection standpoint, at least.
Mixon, it's a weird situation with Mixon because he was a Pro Bowl player last year and he played really well. So talk about things you weren't expecting to happen this year is a dip in Mixon's play. But then even, you know, P. Ryan showed some bounce against the Jets, but even he yesterday didn't really do anything. They got Chris Evans in the game.
Yeah.
So my question is like, what do they do to fix this? Because they're going to get to a point in October where they're going to face better defenses who are literally going to bring the house on Burrow and completely take away their passing game. And if you cannot run the ball, I mean, Mixon's longest run was 7 yards last night. They're not going to win games, and it's a problem.
24 carries, 61 yards, an average of 2.5 yards a carry. That's not going to get it done. Mm-hmm. I'm really, you know, this is glad you're bringing this up because going back to the first series of the game, they go 75 yards and, you know, they convert some of their problems have been third and short. Yep. They convert two third and shorts. The last one was, if I recall correctly, was Mixon from what, 9, 10 yards out on third and really not even a yard. He gets the push. He hits the hole is there.
Whoa, did you
and
see
the
that?
the linemen push him all the way into the end zone. Mm-hmm. You're thinking,
that's what it should look like.
This, okay. This is the start they need. Some of the things that you had seen that were struggles for them, the offensive line, the Mixon, even though Mixon, you know, still had I think there was at least a couple run or two where it was like it wasn't good. Overall, though, he gets that nice push there. They convert in third and short, which they've been struggling on. And you're like, okay, they're off and running now. And so, okay, this is the next step after the Jets game. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a lull. And is the lull in the games, is it happening now because they're not able to have that balance? Mm-hmm. We saw the explosive plays. We saw they went deep. And you and I both looked at each other, you know, what, 3 or 4 times when they threw the ball deep. It's like, Yeah, this is
that works.
This is the Bengals they expected. But in order for that to happen consistently, you gotta be able to run the ball.
Teams have to fear that they can run the ball.
Correct. And I don't know what the fix is. And I'll be curious to, you know, you're gonna head down to the stadium here, and I'm sure that question's gonna be asked. But, you know, Mixon is now what in it? He started in 2017, so his sixth season. And you think, and again, I want to be careful about this because you don't know. He doesn't seem to be hurt. Mm-mm. I mean, I know he had the ankle last week. He was banged up a little bit, but, you know, hey, you're a running back. And if this continues on and a month from now, we're still having the same conversation, I think it's, you probably have to start asking or wondering, is the life cycle of Mixon as an NFL running back, are we seeing mm-hmm. sort of the downside of that? Mm-hmm. Because he's already exceeded in his sixth season. He's exceeded the average life cycle, so to speak, right. of an NFL running back. And you also have to factor in that this isn't for lack of chances. He came in, I believe, in
he
the top.
Leads, I said in my analysis, he leads the league in attempts.
So he jumped up to the number mm-hmm. one, I believe, yeah, going in. He was in the
exactly
top three going in. So
that he has right now.
He had 24 last night.
So Mixon leads the NFL in attempts 82, but has just 224 total yards, which is 14th in the NFL.
What's the – does he have the average there? I don't – my journalist math can't do that in my head. But
82 attempts. They're giving him the ball.
Yeah.
But I will say, is there another level? Did you notice with Miami's offense? I mean, Mike McDaniel is a brilliant offensive mind, but like that's what you hired Zach to be. Is there a level of like creativity they can inject into the run game where maybe it's not the same old hand off to Mixon on first down? I just see a lot of the same runs from the Bengals and the scheme. And, like, I'm wondering at what point do Frank Pollock, Brian Callahan, and Zach Taylor sit down and say, and maybe they already have, let's revamp this thing. What we're doing isn't working. Let's look at what some of the best run teams right now are doing. And I know a lot of that has to match the personnel, right? You can't run a scheme that your offensive lineman can't execute. It's a big difference between like a wide zone scheme. The offensive linemen have to be very shifty and be able to get out and move.
Yeah.
Do you think Lael Collins can do that? No. But they've got to inject some new ways to run the ball. And the problem is when they try those pitches, those don't work. So what do they do? And
well,
we don't know.
Right. And I think you bring up a good point, too, is that let's be careful. I'm talking about myself. Not to blame this on Mixon is that it appears as if it's a mix of both, a little mix of both, the offensive line and Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the pitch sweep mm-hmm. and you wonder, is that a way to try to, okay, let's mix it up here instead of going, you know,
in
up
the
middle,
inside, inside.
Let's try to mix it up and get it on the outside. Well, it's 2 weeks in a row now in a short yardage situation. I believe they had one against the Jets too, where the pitch sweep, it just hasn't worked. And honestly, and I tweeted this after it happened, like, does the pitch sweep?
Yeah, you're
ever,
like over it in all levels of football.
Right? Does it ever work in a short year? Like, but on the flip side, and in defense of Zach Taylor, and I'm sure fans will be mad at me trying to defend him here. Is he trying to mix it up? Like, is he trying something different? Because hey, it's not working up the middle with Mixon, and so let's see if we can't get him on the outside, and maybe the line can get the key blocks. And
that's what he said. Yeah, now you regret it, but he's trying.
Yeah.
And like, I think, listen, the Bengals did everything they could to try and fix the offensive line, and sometimes you nail it. And sometimes you don't. And they nailed two of them. They nailed Ted Karras and they nailed Alex Kappa. They did not expect Lael Collins to go hurt his back this summer and be a shell of what they thought he was going to be. They did not expect Jackson Carmen to be inactive for two games now. And you know,
really, so, I mean, is he on the verge of not being on this
yeah.
team?
And I mean, so I think it's fair and it should be brought up. It's not from a lack of the Bengals trying. They did everything they could to try and make this line better. And sometimes you get it right and sometimes you don't. And it's not all on them. Like, everybody's saying, you know, why couldn't they have spent, you know, why couldn't they have gotten another right tackle? Well, it's like, well, the number one focus heading into the offseason, offensive coordinator Brian Callahan told me this, was to fix the interior. When they went and evaluated all the pressures, and they spent a lot more time than any of us do, their issues were interior pressure. So they poured as much money as they could into Alex Kappa and Ted Karras. And they thought, okay, those two will shore up the right side. We hope Jackson Carmen takes the next step.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out. And LC is average at best at this point. So it's not one of those things where they can just, you know, bring in a whole new five offensive linemen in this thing working. So it'll be really interesting. The coaches get a mini bye this week. They get off for a little bit, but I'm interested for our podcast in a month when we remember this moment and we say, heading into Baltimore, what changes did they make in the run scheme?
You know, on the flip side, you look at last night and you mentioned it, only one sack. Burrow had a lot of time to throw.
He said their performance was incredible. He said, I had all of the time.
I don't like questioning Joe. I probably wouldn't have chosen the word incredible because of the run game. But from a pass protection standpoint, they were great.
Yeah.
And so, and that was different than any of the previous three games. They got a little better against New York and a lot better.
But what you're just not seeing the little better from the run scheme, I think is
correct.
What you're
saying. Correct. But isn't... And so the fact that they're getting better at the pass protection, and I would encourage, if you haven't listened, Kel, our preview podcast with Andrew Whitworth, he talked about this, and you and I have both said it, but to hear it from a Hall of Fame offensive lineman, what I think is a future Hall of Fame offensive lineman, he talks about the chemistry and really went more in depth about what it takes for these guys as a new line together to get it going. And I think you're seeing that. And let me ask you this, Kelsey, is it, if you have a line and they're struggling, like they were, aren't you more encouraged by the fact that they're doing better in pass protection? Because isn't that the tougher piece than it is run blocking?
If you had to pick one, that one.
And these guys all growing up when you're a kid and you're playing youth football, you learn from day one to run block.
Right.
And that's run blocking generally is easy. I hate using that word because it's tough, but it's not as challenging as being adept at pass blocking.
Right.
Pass protection.
Right.
So knowing the pass protection is
improving.
Getting better, right. It's better that it's not the other way around, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's a silver lining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But if you had to ask me one thing that's holding the Bengals back as a team, it's 100% their inability to run the ball. So since we spent some time on the offense, let's talk about the defense. Mm-hmm. Because I wrote it in my story last night. If you want to hear more about how Bengals were able to win the game, check out on Cincinnati.com. But I literally said, I've asked myself this a number of times recently. Why doesn't the Bengals get more attention nationally? Here's my hunch. This defense, they returned all of their starters, minus Larry Ogunjobi, who they didn't even have in the playoffs. So does he even count as a starter at that point? you know, you can make an argument either way. You cannot put a price tag on having an entire group of 11 players all returning with the same coordinator, the same scheme, making the long playoff run that they did. You can't put a price tag on experience and comfort playing with one another. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bengals defense doesn't have your TJ Watt, your Micah Parsons, your Aaron Donald of the world. Trey Hendrickson's a really good player, and he validated it by making the Pro Bowl last year. But the Bengals at all levels, defensive line with Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, B.J. Hill, really solid. Logan Wilson, in my opinion, is the next budding star here in Cincinnati. He's playing unbelievable at middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. Corners, their top corner – Chidobe Awuzie is about as respectful and soft-spoken as you could, like, talk about the difference between, like, Tyreek Hill and Chido. Couldn't be further, like, different. He just does his job, and he doesn't chirp, and he doesn't talk. And then, like, people give Eli Apple a bunch of crap for what he does. But, like, honestly, I saw a huge step in his maturation this week because we asked him a bunch about Tyreek Hill's comments, and he just said no comment. He didn't want to get into it. And Eli Apple 4 years ago probably would have wanted to get into it. Mm-hmm. And then there's safeties, Von Bell, Jesse Bates, like top five safeties. Overall, they're just a really good unit. And you never worry about, like, we ride this up and down wave with the offense right now. You don't, the Bengals might give up some yards, but tell me, now that you've covered this team now for four games, have you ever said to yourself, I don't think they're going to get this figured out?
No, I haven't, because of the defense. I said this on WLW yesterday. I did a pregame thing and I said, you know, they're asking about all, you know, the Bengals win tonight. And I said, I'm pretty confident in that the Bengals can be in and win almost every game because of their defense. Maybe every game. Mm-hmm. I'd take that a game at a time. But, you know, you went into last night and that atmosphere is tailor-made for defense, mm-hmm, to just thrive. And we, like, saw that
on Logan Wilson, third and one stop.
That, and then early in the game there, deep in, you know, and the Dolphins are backed up there, what the, mm-hmm, the their own 10-yard mm-hmm line, and they call a timeout because of the crowd noise, or at least we think of the crowd noise. They run a play, then they call another mm-hmm timeout because the crowd is just amped. Mm-hmm. And that's a testament to this defense, and that it's hard to go against that defense.
And all they care about is their team stats. They do not – there is not one player – and I'm around these guys every single day. There is not one of them that is like a me before a we guy. They're literally like Chidobe Awuzie was wearing a T-shirt, and it said the cleanup crew post-game. And I asked him about it, and I was like, what is that? And he said some, like, fan asked, like, can I make you this – T-shirt, like, I want, like, you're the cleanup crew. And he said, I don't want it to just be about me. I want it to be about all the DBs. Like, we're the cleanup crew. And I'm like, that is what,
awesome,
like, is the epitome of the Bengals defense, a selfless group of just really talented, solid players. And you can put them up against any offense, I think, at this point. And they will do enough to give that Bengals offense a chance to win. And honestly, you can say the Bengals offense has been more disappointing than the Bengals defense four games in.
Yeah, and you think that even when a lot of times when the Bengals defense is, you know, giving up some chunk yards, you saw it on the Dolphins' first series.
Yeah.
They zipped right down the field, but they get in the red zone. And exactly. And you're like, you know, that's a mentality, mm-hmm, and that's goes back to what you said. That they are, it's a we, not me. We're all in this together. Mm-hmm. That's a culture, and there's, you know, it's hard to sort of put your finger on how special that is. Is that going to happen every time? No, mm-hmm, but, you know, in a moment like that, when your offense just went down the field, opens the game, fast start, you're thinking like, okay, all right, the offense is getting it together. We already know the defense has got together. They go down the field, and instead of getting the tying score, they have to settle for a field goal. I don't know. I've liked this defense all along, and I think from day one they've been fantastic, and they've been overshadowed, and you know, I think as the season plays out, I think they'll probably continue to be overshadowed because the superstars are all on offense, right. And if they're not performing, it's like, oh my gosh, what is going on with Joe Mixon or Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase? Or if they are performing, it's like, oh wow, yay, Joe Burrow, look at Joe Mixon, he's turned it around, Ja'Marr Chase, another great season. So the defense will continue to be overshadowed, but the defense will be the exact reason why this Bengals team is going to be make the playoff push if they, you know, ultimately make it.
And we should point out they did all of that without DJ Reader, their best run defender.
That's right.
So kudos to you, Bengals defense. We like to keep it real on this podcast. So when things aren't going well, we're going to point them out, but we're definitely going to give
no doubt
the players and the coaches their dues when they are doing well. And that's how we're going to roll on this podcast. So bravo to you, Bengals defense. Evan McPherson, don't need to talk about him much. Knocks a 57-yarder through. He's...
what a weapon.
What a weapon. I literally tweeted... Mo Egger tweeted Evan McPherson, like, what a weapon. And I literally said, can he run the ball too?
I saw that. I did.
But yeah. So that defense, kicking game, check, check. Offense... figuring it out.
But because the defense and special teams are at the top of their game in those close games, in when Kansas City comes to town and that's going to be a dogfight, and when Buffalo comes to town, that's going to be an all-out battle, the defense is why you're going to be in that game, and you keep it close, and you've got Money Mac as the weapon at the end of the game, it's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it can overshadow the lulls that we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. Even in the last 2 weeks when it's been better, you know, there's been long stretches in the games where the offense has just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. It happened again last night.
It did, yeah. Right. And it happened against New York. And yet, there they were. They won the game. Yep. Ultimately.
That's all that matters.
Ultimately won the game pretty yeah. handily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the defense, and you've got the weapon and Money Mac. And
Joe Burrow in a 4-minute offense realizing.
And, oh, by the way, right, you have Joe Burrow as the leader of that one unit that everyone thought was going to be the strength. And so when that thing gets clicking, it's like, goodness, look out for this team.
Right. And the team is always like – the team – isn't going to be the same in September that it is in December. And as Whitworth pointed out to us, remember, like, the Bengals were 7-6 and they went on a 6-1 run. Mm-hmm. So we're just talking about things that we see. We're not saying, making any grandiose statements, but I will say my biggest question mark about this team is the run game, no doubt. And so now you and I get the weekend off, which we're very mm-hmm. much looking forward to. Very well needed. Yeah. Hey, you go into Baltimore, and we'll get into our preview next week on this. You go into Baltimore Sunday Night Football, another yep. primetime game. It's the most watched game every week. You go into Sunday Night Football 2-2. That is a heck of a lot difference than if you go in 1-3, wouldn't mm-hmm. you say?
No doubt. And you get a little extra rest here. A little extra time to try to work that running game, work the kinks out of the running game. That's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as someone who grew up in Baltimore, been to several Ravens games, like the prime time there, they do it. It's going to be similar to what you saw from the Bengals. Like, they do the intros and they turn the lights off, and it's Lamar's playing really well.
I've covered a game there during the day, but never at night.
So, yeah, Lamar's playing at the top of his game right now, carrying that Ravens offense. So that'll be fun. Lamar next week talking about Lamar versus the Bengals defense. So we got tons of good stuff to talk about next week. But hey, the Bengals are 2-2. They overcame an 0-2 start and they get a nice little mini bye. Time to rest up for a huge divisional game because they started in the AFC with that conquer against the Steelers. So can't fall too far behind in the division. That ends up mattering at the end of the season for sure.
Definitely. And don't forget to send us your your questions on Twitter at Kelsey L. Conway. Kelsey L. Conway. Kelsey L. Conway. at J. Williams Cincy with a Y. Check out our content on Cincinnati.com. We always, I think, really deliver off of every game with a strong game story from Charlie Goldsmith. Kelsey has a really thought out, thoroughly, you know, works hard after the game, takes it all in, does a great analysis piece. I always have my commentary and my opinion, which can range from whatever I wrote about the Tua injury today. But yeah, I think, you know, we have the absolute best coverage of the Bengals and, appreciate your support.
And even though it's a Bengals podcast, Bearcats got a big game against Tulsa this weekend. They have not played well against Tulsa in the years past.
Tulsa's in the Luke Fickell era, even though he's won all of his games against Tulsa, Tulsa has been a thorn in their side the last couple years. Tough games, and they're on a long winning streak in conference play. But Tulsa has played them tougher than anyone. And I fully expect, I pick the Bearcats to win. They'll go down there.
What time's that game?
I believe it's a night game.
Okay, cool.
I think it's a 7 p.m. game.
I will be tuned into that one, hopefully having a nice cold beverage, enjoying my football Saturday and Sunday, and I hope you do the same.
I will. Catch you next time.
All right, that's it for Jason, and I am looking forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, see you then.